Johnny looked. Mud. Explosive stains. The black silk sling he had been wearing was a tatter of light tan. Silt was all through his beard and hair. He looked down and saw that somewhere he must have walked up to his waist in ooze. He looked down at his hands, and he could not even tell the color of his skin. He looked like something no dog would have dragged out of the village garbage dump.
"You win,"
said Johnny, and wearily began to get out of his clothes. Mr. Sung had a big mine bucket, and as each garment was removed, he dropped it with some distaste in the bucket, even the helmet and boots and guns. Johnny climbed into the bath. It was not long enough to stretch out his legs, but the water came up to his chest. He had never had a hot bath before. Only rivers and cold mountain streams. He felt the exhaustion oozing out of him. Indeed, he found with some surprise, there was much you could say in favor of hot baths. Avoiding the bandage on the arm, Mr. Sung scrubbed industriously with a lathering soap and a brush. Suddenly, he stopped work, and there was a whispered consultation back of Johnny. Then a touch on the top of each of Johnny's shoulders. Another consultation, and one of Johnny's arms was held out by Mr. Sung, and a piece of string was stretched down the length of it. Johnny was momentarily horrified to realize the daughter was behind him and he was naked in a tub. He turned his head, but the daughter was gone. Mr. Sung scrubbed on. He washed Johnny's hair and beard. Twice more, the bath was stopped. Once to put a string around his chest. The second time to put a string down the side of his leg. Eventually, Mr. Sung dried his hair and beard with a towel and then wrapped a bigger one around Johnny as he stepped out of the tub. He dried Johnny off, having to jump up a bit to really get the shoulders now that Johnny was standing. He put Johnny in a soft blue robe and only then permitted him to lie down on the bed. Thankful to stretch out at last, avoiding even looking at the screens, Johnny was interrupted again. It was Dr. McKendrick and Dr. Allen. The robe was loose and they got his arm out. Dr. Allen cut off the bandage, cleaned the area with alcohol that stung the nose, probably whiskey of not too good a distillation, poured some white powder in the wound, and then made him eat some of it. More sulfa. Mr. Sung was there with a bowl of soup, while Dr. Allen put on a fresh bandage. Then the two doctors stood back. Johnny, wise in such medical manners, began to suspect they were up to something. They had that false joviality doctors assume just before they take you by surprise and do something gruesome.
"I always thought,"
said Dr. Allen,
"that Donald Dean and Thurman Long were wild. But I was out there when you blew that cliff in. You are the wild one, Johnny Tyler. Do you always use a battle plane to light fuses?"
Johnny was about to inform him somewhat austerely that there had been no time at all to rig fuses when Dr. McKendrick moved closer.
"I suppose it just seemed more natural to him."
A remark calculated to distract. And he took the long needle he had been holding behind him and, seizing Johnny's wrist, slid 2 inches of steel into a vein and pumped a full syringe of something into Johnny's blood.
"Ow!"
said Johnny.
"Well, that wasn't fair. You know I don't like your needles."
The stuff burned like fire in his vein.
"That's for your dizziness,"
said Dr. McKendrick, smugly cleaning the needle.
"It's some stuff we found called B-complex. The venom and the relaxant and this sulfur all rob the system of it. You'll feel much better very shortly."
"I've got enough to do,"
said Johnny, a bit cross.
"Without being shot full of holes."
Dr. Allen laid a hand on his shoulder.
"That's just it. You've got far, far too much to worry about and to do. You've got to learn to let others help you. Let them contribute as well. You do splendidly. Let others help too."
He gave Johnny a pat on the shoulder, and they left. The soup had made his stomach feel better. After a bit, he raised his head and bobbed it.
Hey.
He wasn't as dizzy as he had been. another couple of emissaries had arrived on the platform. The ops room looked frantic. He was worried about this coming conference. Johnny thought he had lain around long enough.
Sung!
He called.
Please get out my best buckskin suit.
Yes, he would let someone else contribute. Mr. Sung could dig up his buckskins.